So you mentioned anti-CD38 as another immune strategy, and obviously Dara is out there, but also there's this other agent you mentioned, isatuximab. I'm curious about that and other anti-CD38 strategies. Can you talk about kind of where they fit in and how you see them working?
Yeah, anti-CD38 therapy has really revolutionized myeloma treatment and immunotherapy for myeloma. CD38 is expressed on plasma cells and other cells as well, but is nicely expressed on plasma cell, making it a very good target. We know from the initial phase I studies and single-arm phase II studies that daratumumab had single-agent activity, as did isatuximab. Daratumumab made a splash on the scene with the CASTOR and POLLUX data showing a really impressive improvement in PFS in combination with either lenalidomide or bortezomib in patients with 1 to 3 prior lines of therapy. With that being said, daratumumab is now one of the things that is considered in the first or second relapse very readily because it is very effective and it's also pretty well tolerated after you get over the first infusion. And with that, we've also learned a lot about how to give daratumumab. And now there's a rapid infusion protocol, 30 minutes, that's available, and eventually subcutaneous, we think, will be available. So that's where daratumumab has been. Interestingly enough, it has not only the mechanism of action of ADCC or working through antibody-dependent cytotoxicity, but is known to have complement fixation and also possibly direct activity through CD38, and then antibody-dependent macrophage-induced phagocytosis. So four mechanisms of actions for daratumumab. Isatuximab, which is also a CD38 antibody at a different site, has actually very similar properties that I can see from the data that's been published. And most recently, there was data presented at ASCO of isa-pom-dex versus pom-dex, and it did show superiority of isa-pom-dex over pom-dex with regard to progression-free survival. It was fairly well tolerated also, and I think that this is another option for us. Where we see it as myeloma doctors trying to put these two together, I think if I had to give an opinion, I'd say that they're probably equivalent. And what's going to happen in the near future is maybe daratumumab has had more studies with upfront use, and so we'll see those sooner, potentially. We don't know. And eventually, it might be a competition, a true market competition between the two drugs as far as which one a practitioner uses.
Well, given the fact there's six checkpoint inhibitors approved and three CDK inhibitors and four PARP inhibitors, I guess that wouldn't be the first time that happened in oncology. But
Right.
what do we know by indirect comparison in terms of tolerability, particularly infusion reactions with the two?
Well, actually, both of them are pretty well tolerated on the long term. We know that the infusion requirement for that first infusion for isatuximab is actually a little shorter than daratumumab, as per the study recently presented. I think this is sort of an important point, but sort of not, because ultimately daratumumab is going to go to subcutaneous, and that infusion is obviously much shorter. And even in the first infusion, it's a 4-hour wait period for observation, and thereafter you're kind of home free. So I don't want to put too much into the infusion time because I just don't think that that's going to be relevant in the future.
And you'd mentioned sub-Q therapy, and I think there was some data just presented on that. It looks like it's going to be equivalent.
Yeah, so the Colombo study did look at exploring whether daratumumab subcutaneous is as good as IV daratumumab. And what it was able to show is after the first dose and thereafter as you dose it, you can get very nice steady state levels of drug. And it is similar to the weight-based IV dosing of daratumumab. In addition, there are fewer infusion-related reactions and obviously a much shorter time of injection versus infusion. And so we have data there to show that it's pretty equivalent. And I think this is going to be very helpful for those of us who really need to get our patients in and out of the practice quickly to have a subcutaneous option.